Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, February 28th, 2024. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 6, the middle paragraph that begins the remorse, horror, and hopelessness the next morning. Readers for today are Jeannie N. reading the 12 steps, Deb E. reading the 12 traditions. Reading the text are Vanessa G., Susan G., and Jody E. The share ID for yesterday, Tuesday, February 27th, 10 a.m. Eastern meeting is 21,173 or 21173. And the share ID for this morning, Wednesday, February 28th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,175 or 21175. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jeannie N. to read the steps of OA. Good morning, Jeannie. Press star 1, Jeannie, to unmute.
Good morning, everyone. Sorry about that. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. To turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed, and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, everyone, for letting me do service, and have a good meeting.
Thank you, Jeannie N. Would Deb E. please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous? Good morning, Deb.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Kathy. Deb E. in Montana, here to read 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards and committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Deb E., for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we are resuming our study of the Big Book and Bill's story on page 6, and I will ask Vanessa G. to get us started. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for taking the meeting, and thank you for everybody who makes this meeting possible. My name is Vanessa G., and I am recovered in New Mexico. The remorse, horror, and hopelessness of the next morning are unforgettable. The courage to do battle was not there. My brain raced uncontrollably, and there was a terrible sense of impending calamity. I hardly dared cross the street, lest I collapse and be run down by an early morning truck, for it was scarcely daylight. An all-night place supplied me with a dozen glasses of ale. My writhing nerves were stilled at last. A morning paper told me that the market had gone to hell again. Well, so had I. The market would recover, but I wouldn't. It was a hard thought. Should I kill myself? No, not now. Then a mental fog settled down. Gin would fix that. So two bottles. And oblivion. Oh my goodness, what a great description of the torture of this disease, horror, hopelessness. How many times did I wake up and have those feelings? Most of the time, you know, I would be able to deny my disease for a while. And then all of a sudden, I would realize that, oh my gosh, I've gained 60 pounds. Or, oh my goodness, and, you know, I've put 100 pounds back on. You know, denial, I think, is a lifesaver, like it is in this paragraph sometimes. But eventually, you know, it is completely destructive. And every time that I would realize that I had, you know, relapsed again and binged my way back up into, you know, the 200s or the 300s, I would just lose all hope. I would feel so regretful. I wondered how it had happened. And I was horrified at my size and at the fact that I could do that again. And suicide would seem like an option. It often seemed like an option. But, you know, there was no, in order to survive, I guess, I must have a strong will to go and slip back into denial and start eating again. The only thing that would take care of remorse, horror, and hopelessness at that point was overeating and slipping into oblivion again. You know, just, I was no longer eating for the comfort of that first bite, the taste of that bite. I was eating for oblivion because I couldn't stand to face the truth. And I don't think I would have ever faced the truth if I hadn't been presented with a solution. And you all on this line gave that to me in your voices, in your passion, and in just the absolute energy that I could feel just pouring through the line. There's life here, and I found it. And I hope that anyone who's new to the line finds it too. Stay here and live. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Vanessa, for getting us started today. We're going to take names now from people who would like to share. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on this meeting on Monday and Tuesday, please allow others to share first. Who would like to share today?
Isn't Cheryl S., Nevada.
Okay, I heard Carol S., but there was someone else.
Susan G.
Susan G.
Jody E.
Jody E.
Kelly L.
Kelly L. Anyone else?
Joan Marie M.
Jane Marie M., is that what you said?
Joan Marie M., yes.
Okay, Joan.
Deanna.
I'm sorry, who is that?
Deanna.
Can you spell that for me?
D as in Dion.
Deanna.
Deanna. Yes, I'm from Ohio. I will put my hand over.
Okay. Oh, Deanna from Ohio. Okay, got it.
Yes.
Dawn B.?
Dawn B. Anyone else?
Robin A.
Okay, Robin A. Okay, why don't we start with this lineup? So I have Carol F., Susan G., Jody E., Kelly L., Joan Marie N., Dion R., Dawn B. and Robin A. Let's begin. Everyone be muted except Carol S. Please go ahead, Carol.
Thank you. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada, and a recovered compulsive overeater. And on this paragraph, it's really the first sentence that just really strikes me. The remorse, horror, and hopelessness of the next morning are unforgettable. And what this says to me is, he's sober now, or pretty sober, and now he feels the remorse. Now he feels the horror. Now he feels the hopelessness. And for me, I don't feel this while I'm eating, while I'm getting that release. It's not until the eating, the binge is over, that I feel this. And it sounds like really a bad thing, but it's actually a good thing. Because when I feel this remorse, horror, and hopelessness, number one, I'm not in the food. And I'm at a crossroads. And I'm going to do one of two things. I'm either going to surrender and get help, or I'm going to go back to the food to get relief. And here, he doesn't surrender at this point. He gets back into the booze. But I think it points out again the importance of abstinence for us, of getting off the food, getting clean, getting abstinent, so we can have some clarity in our mind and be able to make a choice. Because when I'm in the food, I have no choice. And that's all I have to share. Thank you. Everybody have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Carol S. Susan G., please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. Susan G., recovered in Los Angeles. Thank you, Vanessa, so much for getting us started. Oh gosh, I remember those days so, so well, and being so young and remembering them, that was what struck me this morning. I can remember being, you know, 10, 11, 12, and just not understanding why I couldn't stop and why I was sneaking food and what I was doing. And, you know, each day, as we read yesterday, I would manage better next time. Next time it will be different. If I do this, if I blow dry my hair this way, it was always the setting or the person or how you behaved. And I came in and out of these rooms for 16 years. And every time I felt really low, horrified, hopeless, how was I a size 8? It seems like just a day ago, and now I'm a size 26 again. And that is very, very scary and horrifying. And yet it wasn't enough. And, you know, we know here that it's two more years before he actually gets sober. And the deterioration, I mean, the fear of not being wanting to cross the street, and it just reminds me again, and even though we aren't there, how our memory fails to keep us in check. And unless I keep safe and protected every single day and continue to build on that relationship with God, I'm going to end up with that terrible sense of impending calamity. But today, sticking with it, reviewing my day at the beginning of the day with God, reading on awakening, getting centered, even being here and being of service, it keeps me together. It keeps me in the center of the herd. And that mental fog, I would go to an OA meeting, sit in the back row, really annoyed that I was there, and I would leave. And I would go back to, you know, he went to the bar, I went to the bakery, and it continued on and on and on until it didn't. So I'm truly, truly grateful. And if you are new, please don't leave before your miracle. Thank you, Kathy, so much.
Thank you, Susan G. Jody E., please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Kathy K., for your service, and Vanessa for getting us started, and for everybody on the line to make this meeting possible. My name is Jody E., and I'm gratefully recovered in California. So I was, at first I thought, no, I'm not going to share on this paragraph because my bottom wasn't that low. And then I thought, oh, yes, Jody, you need to share because your bottom was low enough. I had that terrible sense of impending calamity. I experienced horror and hopelessness the next morning, even though I never gained 100 pounds, even though I never lost 50 pounds. It doesn't matter the numbers. What matters is that I was there and I don't want to go back. I do not want to go back. I am a real compulsive overeater. I'm a real bulimic type, binging and restricting, and I don't want to go back there. So my story is just as valid as anybody else's. Food will be my master if I let it be. My control of my weight will be my master if I allow it to be. There's a wonderful pamphlet in Overeaters Anonymous called If God Spoke to OA, and it talks about how we are uniquely qualified here to help the next compulsive overeater, and this is our assignment in life. This is my assignment in life, to recover and then to help someone else recover. And it's a tremendous privilege, and it's not what I thought I would be when I grew up, but it is indeed what I am. And I don't want to go back there to that terrible sense of impending calamity where I have no control over the food. I am a slave to it day after day. And killing myself is on the horizon. And thank you, and I will pass.
Thank you very much, Jody E. Okay. Now we will hear from Kelly L. Please share with us, Kelly.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Kelly L. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Washington State. And just wanted to get on the line and share today. You know, it's easy to get kind of back into the back of the herd for me. And so, you know, any opportunity I get just to get on and touch base and claim my seat, you know, I'm needing to do that. But anyway, I've been in recovery, you know, for a few months. I've been abstinent since July. And it's awesome to rereading this part of the book from this perspective now of completing the 12 steps and being able to sponsor and be working on my emotional sobriety now that the abstinence is there. And when I first read this paragraph, you know, months before, you know, I could, it was really helpful to illuminate, you know, the insanity of my disease for me, because, you know, that which was killing me was my solution, essentially, at the time. And, you know, these stories from Bill really helped me identify and to see that. And in some ways, you know, that's still true for me as a recovered person, but this time it's more with my emotional sobriety, because, you know, I'll have emotional reactions to things, and I'll wake up hungover, feeling terrible about something I had said the night before, you know, and and so the lesson of humility for me is my ego is needing to be smashed and re-smashed time and time again. And, you know, somebody said that these 10 steps that we do at night and throughout the day are our spiritual MRIs. You know, they help us see, you know, really what's going on within us spiritually, and then help to illuminate that. And you know, I'm just so thankful for a program, you know, because I kind of wondered in the beginning, what would happen after I finished the 12th step? Then what do I do? Oh, well, don't you worry. Work and growth and a daily, you know, ability to get closer to my higher power by, you know, surrendering and letting go, which turns out to be for me the hardest step. It sounds so simple to let go, but it's been very challenging for someone like me. So, you know, just so thankful and grateful for all of you to connect with and to learn from each day. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Kelly L. Joan Marie N., please share with us.
morning, everyone. What beautiful shares. So inspiring. And what stood out to me is hopelessness. And what happened when I came this time, I was so hopeless and desperate. So if you're on the line and you're new, there is hope. It tells us in the beginning, of the very beginning of the book, that thousands, now it's probably millions, have recovered. And it says, from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. I was hopeless. I was very hopeless, and I couldn't do this. I tried and tried everything that everyone else tried, and nothing worked. Only a God, a power greater than myself, restored me to sanity. Sanity? Sane eating. I am a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace, power, and love of God. I take no credit for it. But I had to do the work. And when it settled the mental fog, oh my gosh, I couldn't think straight. Fear ruled my life. I was afraid of everything and everybody. And if you ask me what, I was afraid to get out of bed because it was doom and gloom. There was no hope there at all. Manic depressant, suicidal, yes, attempt many times and almost made it one time in the hospital. So I'll just leave it at that. I'm so grateful. This program works. It really, really works. And it's miraculous. It's a power that I had no power. I had no power at all. I tried everything. I even tried God alone in my faith. And yes, I know he does that for others, but I needed everything. I needed the fellowship. I needed a sponsor who had what I wanted. She had freedom, neutrality around the food, and I was desperate for that. So with that, I pass. Thank you so much for the shares already.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie. And Jan R. from Ohio, please share with us.
Hello, good morning. This is Dion R. I am going to have to pass. We had a storm, and my phone and hearing aid is not connected right, so I want to pass, but I ditto everything everyone else said. And with that, thanks for allowing me to be on the meet.
Okay, thank you, Dion. I hope you get things straightened out. Dawn B., please share with us.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, wonderful. This is Dawn B., recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Beautiful shares. Thank you so much to everyone who makes this meeting possible. In the previous paragraph, Bill is, it says, I would manage better next time. I would try to feel better, manage. That's just trying to control more and more. And I remember myself trying to control more and more, trying to control my food, trying to control life, trying to feel better. I just wanted to feel better. And I was looking to food to make me feel better. And it was like a drug, you know, like any addictive substance, heroin, crack cocaine. And I had to get to the point where I accept and surrender to the fact that this is not making me feel better. This is making me feel much worse. And I, in this paragraph, talking about, have a terrible sense of impending calamity. I had to get to that point where I knew that I was racing down a one-way street going 90 miles an hour, heading for a brick wall. There was no way out if I kept going this way. And Bill saying, should I kill myself? No, not now. Before he was saying that, oh, he would never think of killing himself, and now he's considering it. I had to get to that point, too, where, you know, death would have been better before I was ready to just surrender and wave the white flag and say, I am absolutely powerless, and accept that to the core of my being. And once I did that, you know, just surrendering and placing my whole self into God's arms, it was a time when it was just a beautiful experience, that surrender. And it's something now that I get to practice on a daily basis. So it's no longer about me trying harder. You know, it says in there, my writhing nerves, and looking that up, that's like squirming, twisting, agonizing. You know, this me trying to feel better from sources that just do not offer any kind of relief. And now I seek to feel better. This beautiful program teaches me that, you know, I come in seeking my ease and comfort from food. I put the food down and I realize, wow, underneath that I'm trying to feel better from trying to control others and circumstances. And this program teaches me to seek to feel better, to try to feel better, to seek my peace from surrendering and placing myself in the arms of a power much greater than me that carries me to a peace that passes all understanding. And now I seek my ease and comfort from my higher power. And that's a beautiful, beautiful way of life. And it offers me peace that is not dependent upon circumstances. And it's a beautiful way of life. So I get to surrender. I get to abandon myself utterly to you, God, and seek your will as my only goal. And it's just a beautiful way of life. It's even comforting just to say that. So thank you so much for allowing me to share this morning. And to may we all just place ourselves in the loving arms of our higher powers and help and allow God to carry us to really, truly feeling better. That's not dependent upon circumstances. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Dawn B. Robin A., please share with us. Robin, press star 1 to unmute.
Hi. Oh, I unmuted, but then I didn't unmute my phone. Hi, good morning. This is Robin. I'm seeking recovery in this program. I have 12 days, and this morning meeting is just kind of my saving grace right now. I'm feeling really vulnerable and very raw, and I'll have one amazing day, and then the next day I just want to hide and crawl under the covers. And my whole outlook on life has to change. And I just appreciated the share so much, and it's so about, all about what I think, how things are supposed to be and how the world's supposed to run. And I just thought, if I share today just to help one person not want to go back to these beginning days, maybe I could be of service that way. Oh, because there's such a clear, clear distinction between what I see when people are, you know, claiming that they've recovered. There's such a different outlook. When I make outreach calls, the people are saying, oh my gosh, I have this amazing life. What a beautiful day. I was able to be of service to my family and all this stuff. And so I am slowly, it's like I have this big, big cruise ship, and I'm slowly turning it in the other direction. And it just feels like nail slow in the process, but I felt like the glue of food was holding me together, even though it was this familiar low-grade pain. It just, and now I just feel like I'm just this bag of bones kind of just stumbling through and just kind of But it's the gift of when I have these resentments, because so many of them are coming up, it's like a bird flies by and they didn't fly by correctly. And so I have to do it again. And when I'm talking to my sponsor, like the shift in my perception going from it's all their fault, they need to do it differently, and don't they see what they did to me? And that's really at the bottom of it. And then this kind, loving voice of, you know, where were you selfish? Like, how did you want it to be different? And I just have this shift, like, maybe she says to me, you know, maybe God wants them to be this way for their purpose, you know, and I don't know, something changes in me and I soften and I don't want to kill somebody else or kill myself. So I'm just so grateful and on these meetings and the podcast. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Robin A., and I hope you'll keep coming. Okay, for those who came on late, we are sharing on the middle paragraph on page 6 of Bill's story, and I will take some more names now. Who would like to share?
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Kathleen W.
Kathleen W.
Teresa
C.
Deb F.
Wait, who was it with the initial P?
It was Teresa P.
Teresa P. Okay.
And also Joe F.
Joe F.
Sandy K.
Somebody K. Who was that?
Sandy.
Sandy K. And I missed one other. Who else?
Deb F.
Deb F. Okay, we'll stop there. I'm not even sure we'll get through all of these, but let's see how it goes. Robin P., please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a really grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. The remorse, horror, and hopelessness of the next morning are unforgettable. I think someone's unmuted. If you could just press star one, that'd be awesome. Oh my gosh, I lived that so many years. Oh, waking up in the morning and just thinking, how did Russian roulette happen one more time? And the resolve, and I got it. Oh, I can control this. I got, okay, now I'll do this. Now I'll do that. Now I'll do another thing. And none of those things ever worked. And I'm so grateful to this program. I'm so grateful for, you know, I've had 8 years of abstinence. Thank you, God. I'm so grateful. One day at a time. And it's such a blessing. I just get to show up to life and live. And I don't even remember that other person, thank God. I'm completely been reborn again into this program. And, you know, this paragraph, it's just, you know, I wanted to die. And, you know, these rising nerves, oh my gosh, and just have no other solution but the food. And the food was my God. It's what I went to for everything. And it just couldn't fill the God hole. And, you know, I'm just, you know, we live in Costa Rica, and I get to, we're mostly retired. I invented some products, so I have some licensing money, but, you know, really just get to practice, you know, practicing these principles in all of our affairs. And, you know, a friend of ours died yesterday. He was an alcoholic and, smoked and, you know, it's just, I'm so grateful to be living with healthy habits that I learned in this program. And, you know, to just see the huge difference. And we're planning a trip again, abstinently to Europe. And, you know, last time we did 28 cities in 3 months. This time we're doing 8 cities in 8 weeks. And I'm so grateful that I know that I can carry this program with me anywhere I go. And you know, I just keep reaching up and reaching out. And I'm just eternally grateful to you all. Thank you. I pray that everyone has a very blessed abstinent day. I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P. Kathleen W., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Kathleen W. from Illinois. I wanted to claim my seat also because sometimes I get out on the periphery and I want to get back, as was said today, in the middle of the herd. One way I can do that is to share. And yes, I could really relate to one of the shares that was given about, I didn't have to lose 100, 200, 300 pounds. I didn't. I was a higher bottom drunk when it came to food. All of that stuff that I hear was my yet. I hadn't reached some of that yet. What I did have was the remorse, the horror, the hopelessness of the next morning after a binge. I had that same thing, even though I had a higher bottom. That is what drove me to my knees, finally, but not at first. You know, I had that racing of my mind when I woke up in the morning and this terrible sense. I had all of that from my binges. And then I had, it seems like a good idea. What's going to fix this is some Ben and Jerry's, you know, and maybe not one quart. I might need two of those or pints. And then the food oblivion. So I can relate to that. Now, when I decided that it was a good time or a good idea, it was a good idea to get some Ben and Jerry's. You know, all of that other stuff was very unforgettable, was very forgettable. I forgot it. Now I look back on it. Now it's not, it is unforgettable what I went through and what I don't have going on today. You know, I don't go to Ben and Jerry's. I just went through a terrible, terribly painful time recently, emotionally, and feeling the pain in my body. It was so surprising that it came to me in the midst of that, that I think I want a lot of something to eat. And right away, that was just like, well, that's ridiculous. And I felt the neutrality immediately. I didn't pursue that thought. It just was passing through me like a cloud passing over in the sky. That was a miracle. And I let myself feel the pain until I could get through it. I had my resources. I had the tools. I had the steps. I had the sponsor to talk to. I had all of that. And I didn't even, the thought of that, you know, would pass me just as quickly as it came. And then neutrality, I knew. That was not going to be the answer for me. And I'm so grateful for that today. Thank you for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kathleen W. Teresa P., please share with us.
Hi, this is Teresa C., New Jersey, a compulsive overeater and food addict in recovery for today. Well, this morning I did what I usually do, and that's, you know, listen to read the paragraph, listen to it. And I thought, well, no, I don't think I have anything to share, even though I, you know, can relate to some of the stuff. But after a few shares, I was like, oh, my goodness, there was a couple of awakenings for me. And I thought I'd share them in case other people can relate to it. One was when I was a teenager. At that time, I can remember, you know, just having as much sugar as I possibly could. You know, it wasn't, and I remember my mother, now when I think back to it, I think she was trying to teach me some moderation and saying that she used to have like one candy bar a day. Yeah, no, that was not me. However much money you gave me, that's how many candy bars I would buy. And thinking back now, thinking, yeah, eat all that candy, you know, come home from school, go to the store, get all this candy, and then take a little nap afterwards. And then, you know, later on also realizing that I never wanted to like go to school. Not that I didn't like school. I was just always so tired. I didn't want to get up and do it. So I'm thinking that that was probably part of what was there. And then this thing of later on in my life, this impending calamity. My goodness, you know, outwardly everything was good. Good job, beautiful place to live. You know, in 12-step programs, not in OA though, I still didn't know about it. And I certainly was in the food, eating that and eating the, and all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, it probably built up over a while, but it was like this impending calamity. I have to get out of here. You know, these terrible things are going to happen. You know, everything was just so negative that I really felt like I was having a nervous breakdown. And when I think back, I think it was really majority of it was because of the food situation. And I just wanted to do a geographic, and I did do a geographic. It didn't help my eating, that's for sure. Wherever you go, there you are. But now I found OA. After that, I found OA, and it's really helped me a lot to feel, I can't remember the last time I had impending calamity. I had some anxiety, but I know how to deal with that in a different way now through my 10 steps, which is awesome. I have, you know, what I'm thinking in my mind right now is my 10 steps take the place of my food.
Fine.
With that, I'll pass. Thank you so much. Let me share.
Thank you, Teresa C. Okay, we have only about 4 minutes left. So if you can take 2 minutes instead of 3 minutes, we'll at least get two of you in. So Joe F. and then Sandy K. And I don't think we'll get to you, Deb, today. I'm very sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for your service. So Joe F. here from New York, recovering in this program. This is my first time sharing. I've been abstinent since the 9th of December. I've had this irrational fear about sharing on a meeting that's being recorded. Like, what would happen if people were to go back and find out that I'm an Overeaters Anonymous? I mean, my goodness. The impending calamity speaks to me on so many levels. I've had a rough few days, and it dawned on me yesterday that I'm addicted to fear, which is pretty shocking, but that is the case. And I know that when I connect with people in the rooms, the fear begins to subside. I had a sponsor of mine from another fellowship who used to tell me, when you're thinking about going to a meeting, go to the meeting first and think about it afterwards. And so when I'm thinking about making an outreach call, I need to make the call first, and then I can think about it afterwards. Listening to the shares this morning and reading that paragraph, my higher power was saying, I need you to get on and share today. And the last thing I'll say is this, to anyone who's having a real rough go of it, my higher power calls me to have an abundant, joyous life, and I believe that that's what we're all called to. So stay on, reach out, things will get better. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe F. And Sandy K., you have 2 minutes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Yes.
Yes,
this is Sandy K. from Florida. I am a compulsive overeater. Up until last Friday, I would say I'm recovered compulsive overeater, so this is like a cautionary tale, I guess. When I was in program about 10 years, somebody who I came in with was in a meeting and said he had a donut. And I go, oh, my God, how could he have done that? Obviously, very judgmental. And then throughout the years, people have said, you know, they got mad at God. And I would say, oh, my God, how could that happen when she found your higher power? So apparently, I'm still judgmental.
What I want to share is last Saturday, I ingested sugar knowing that it was a sweetened drink. I didn't order a sweetened drink, but I always say, does this have sugar in it? And if they say no, I say I need it with no sugar. But I purposely drank it. And that's with being abstinent from sugar for 38 years. So my message is I had stopped doing two things. And it's not half measures avail me nothing. It's 80% measures avail me nothing. By the grace of God, I'm abstinent today, yesterday, and the day before. But I know I'm not out of the woods. So, because I have an allergy to sugar. So if anyone goes, oh my God, 38 years and she had sugar, how'd that happen? That's what I said about this guy, 18 or so years ago. Okay, so just for today, I'm following my plan. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sandy Kay. And thank you everyone who has shared today or listened with us today. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164 and follow that by the Serenity Prayer, which Susan G., please read a vision for you.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning again, everyone. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.